to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 60 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, because of the season, we're going to tell you what we feel the most thankful about for the year that was 2014. We're also going to touch base a little bit on some of the news we heard about the parks this week. Hollywood Studios has another story coming out of it. Before we start, let's say hi to the Disney nerds. With us tonight, we have Jimmy from Once Upon a Time Travel. How's it going, Jimmy?
I am fantastic. So happy to be here.
Great. Great to have you. We also have Jen from the For the Love of Disney blog. How's it going, Jen?
Good. I missed you guys. I'm not happy to be home in the cold, but happy to be back with you on the Disney Nerds podcast. So that's like the shining light of having to come back home.
There you go. We also have on John this week. John, our man in the park. Hey, John, how's it going?
Doing great. Glad to be here. Thank you.
And last but not least, Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. How's it going, Sam?
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I am ready. Let's go.
And this is Ed from the Maz Disney blog. So here we go. Now, the year that it was 2014 had a lot of things going on in the Disney parks and a lot of things going on in our lives. So what we decided to do was kind of slow down a little bit. And because of the season, Thanksgiving Day being tomorrow, let's talk about some of the things we're thankful for in the parks. Before we get there, though, you know what? Let's talk real quick about some of that news that just came out of Hollywood Studios. Jimmy, what'd you hear this week about Hollywood Studios?
So some big news coming out of Hollywood Studios is, in some previous shows, we've heard Sam talk about, you know, kind of rumors and people talking about maybe especially the removal of the hat, maybe the Great Movie Ride going away, which for me personally would be a travesty for the Great Movie Ride to go away. So this week, actually yesterday, we got a leak that Disney has partnered with Turner Classic Movies, and Turner Classic Movies is going to sponsor the Great Movie Ride and help Disney kind of revamp it and add some stuff to it and kind of clean it up a little bit. So it's a big deal.
Oh, it definitely is. And first and foremost, I think the best deal is that it's not going away.
Yes. Absolutely. I think it's one of those rumors, though, that had so much merit because we all heard the reports of people who have events scheduled there that were getting phone calls to reschedule, that it was going to be unavailable. So I think my guess is just with all the other closures in the studios, we jumped to not just us here on the Disney Nerds, but all over the internet, like, oh, it must be closing along with the rest of the attractions that have recently closed. When in reality, it sounds like maybe those phone calls, if they were related, just have to do with this refurbishment. I'm so excited, so thankful that it's not going away. My husband and I both love the Great Movie Ride, and it definitely needed an update, but I was so sad to hear that it was going away, and I'm so glad that it's not.
If there's anything that will save an attraction, it's a sponsor.
Yes.
And getting a sponsor is absolutely wonderful. I don't know exactly what it means, and time will tell there. There's been nothing official from Disney. I'm looking forward to that. But hey, this is great. They found a sponsor. Now go find one for Imagination. All right, that's enough.
And Wonders of Life.
There you go.
Once we think about this a little bit more, we'll probably talk about it down the road. But my first instinct was great, awesome, the ride's going to be around. My second thought, however, was Turner Classic Movies really only has a limited library of movies. So I'm hoping that they're using their help in the entire world of movies as opposed to what just they have to offer on their channel.
And a big part of this looked like Turner Classic Movies broadcasting Disney movies on their channel in exchange for something, and we're not really sure what that is. But if you go to turnerclassicmovies.com or TCM, the library is pretty extensive, but I don't know if that means they have the rights to broadcast those movies, including Wizard of Oz and Casablanca, or do they have the ability to license them. I don't know. There's so many legal contracts behind all that. Who knows what they can or can't do.
Sure.
And I think Disney knew they had to do something with this great movie, right? I believe they saw the fans just kind of getting tired of the great movie ride itself, and I think they pleased a lot of people by revamping it with TCM instead of just taking it totally out of the picture.
And I think TCM's going to be a great partner. It's kind of neat to me that, you know, that Disney's going to give TCM a little bit of access to their vault, and TCM's going to be able to air some of that old Walt Disney kind of, you know, all that old footage, Disneyland and that type of stuff.
Well, it's going to be like the Disney Vault was on the Disney Channel, where they're going to do it once every couple months on TCM, Turner Classic Movies Channel. And the first time, actually, so set your calendar, guys, get the DVR set, is December 21st.
You had posted something, Ed, on Facebook, and I kind of responded that you wish they would do it on the Disney Channel like they used to. And, you know, I almost think, and this is what I responded to you, and I almost feel that TCM is actually a better outlet. Now the Disney Channel is geared so much toward kids. I don't know if that old footage, that Disney Vault stuff, I don't know if the Disney Channel is the right outlet for that. Because the kids, I don't watch it. My kids watch it. But, you know, Turner Classic Movies, if I see that's coming, you know, I'll definitely watch it.
It was funny how the Disney Channel got around that, though. The Disney Vault, unfortunately, was shown from like midnight till 4 a.m.
Oh, that's okay.
So the
I would be
kids
okay with
no
that,
because
the kids wouldn't, they wouldn't be watching it anyway. So if you're going to set your DVR to watch it.
DVRs, baby, exactly. Yeah. DVRs.
Mm-hmm. I do, you know, my DVR, I'll do a keyword search on, you know, and just search Disney and just see what pops up and see if any cool travel shows or whatever's going to pop up, and I'll set them to record.
All right. And since you brought it up, there is a website that lists all the Disney shows that'll be on this week coming up, and they'll do everything from a sitcom that might be showing themselves at Disney World to actual documentaries and travel shows. What I'll do is I'll try to get it for our next show, or I'll put it in some show notes and we'll post it later.
I have gone back and watched The Golden Girls went to Disney World. Boy Full Meets House. World went to Disney World. Full House,
Full House
went to Disney World.
That one,
love that Kate, one.
Cake Boss went to Disney World. Yeah, a lot of these small networks, like the Food Network, which I think Disney owns. So a lot of those guys. There was the Morrows, which I forgot his first name, but his last name is Morrow. But he won one of those food competitions. They had a special. The Morrows go to Disney World. So a lot of the Food Network. Works up doing trips to Disney, because I think they own them. And then the ABC TV shows, obviously.
Right, The Middle. My kids are big fans of it. And I think we might have mentioned this. I'm not sure. In the ABC commissary right now, they have some of the props from that Middle episode where they won the trip to Disneyland, but went to Disney World and found out they were in the wrong place. It's a great show. So those tickets are there, which are cool, because the tickets have a picture of Sleeping Beauty's castle. It's not
nice. Recent,
which is awesome. No, nice. I picked that right away. It's worth it because they're dining during the Food and Wine, or was it Flower and Garden? It was Flower and Garden when they recorded it, and they're sitting in France, sort of where there is no restaurant.
And nice. Brick has a hidden Mickey's book too.
He does. He has a hidden Mickey's book. He has a
very
Steve
cool.
Park book.
We talked when we interviewed Steve Barrett. He talked about that was a big deal to him to see, you know, primetime television. They're in Disney and they have a hidden Mickey book in their hand.
That is
so cool.
Something for Steve to be thankful for.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that was some quick news this week from Hollywood Studios. You can see how fast that happens. Now what we're going to do, more with the Thanksgiving season, is we're going to talk about some of the things we were thankful for down at Walt Disney World this year. We talked about this a little bit before we recorded, and we're not going to, although we are very thankful for our families, we're very thankful for Walt Disney, we're very thankful for the cast member that checked us in to any time we go down to Walt Disney World, we're probably going to talk about more things in the parks that are going on or things that are going on with the company. Who wants to start?
All right, go ahead, John.
What I'm most thankful for at the parks is that new Fantasyland is officially completed.
Yes.
So, no nice. More walls around Minecart, and you really get to see that mountain with the trees on top, and it really gives you the feel that we heard. And
when you do see it, it could be on fire.
Exactly. Right. That has happened. So it does give you that feel that you're in New Fantasyland compared to Old Fantasyland, and you don't see the castle that much, and you definitely don't see any more construction around Fantasyland. So
it's definitely immersive into something that wasn't there before. And for someone that has not yet experienced any of New Fantasyland, getting there and walking in, they got to be looking around and going, where am I? This just doesn't look like anything, which is great experience.
Absolutely. Somebody whose visit was 5 years ago that walks in now would be like, what is – it's so foreign compared to what it was. And one of the things that strikes me is, you know, in the Facebook group, I've been seeing a lot of people, you know, kind of complaining that they're going down there and all this construction's going on. And, you know, we talked about this before, and the way I look at it is, you know what, it is a little bit of a pain in the neck when you're down, but look at Fantasyland. Look at New Fantasyland. It's so worth it. It's so worth putting up with that, all those things going on at the time. The only person I kind of feel for, and I kind of put that in the post earlier in the group, is the family that only gets to go down maybe every 3 or 4 or 5 years. If they were to go down right now, it is a little bit of a nuisance. But you know what? It's going to pay off 5 years from now when you go back.
Well, and that's such a good one this year, because the finalization of New Fantasyland has been such a long time coming. It was announced however many years ago, and then changed, and then took years to complete. So that's a really, I mean, to see the end of it and to see it just there in all of its glory, so to speak, is really cool.
D23 2011 is when they announced it. Wow.
Well, that wasn't as long ago as I thought. I was thinking it was like 5+ years. Maybe it just felt like it.
It did.
Yeah.
Okay, well, awesome one, John. That was a really good one. Jen, why don't you take the next one? What are you thankful for 2014?
Well, again, I don't know if it's because I'm the only girl on here or it's because I misunderstood the rules again. But no, this did happen in 2014, but it's a little bit kind of an overarching thing. I'm thankful for the Run Disney races. I'm not a runner. I don't really like running, but I've done a few of them, and I actually did a full marathon in January of 2014, and the races there are just so encouraging, and the people who run are so encouraging. They're so much fun, and the company puts so much effort into, I guess, kind of welcoming. I've done other races in other cities, and they really welcome guests of all fitness levels, of all, you know, dedication to running. They have people who run it super fast, and they have people who walk the whole thing, and everyone is just as welcome. And the whole Run Disney program is so cool, and it's really neat to me. I would have never, ever, ever, ever run any long race, but years ago I ran my first Disney race, and they're always the ones I keep coming back to. And now my full marathon was kind of a terrible experience, and I don't want to do another one, but it was fun, and I can say that I did it. And I think that's I think there's a lot of people that I think have similar stories that have achieved things that they never thought they could because of the Run Disney program. So that's my first one.
I've never experienced, but would love to. They just seem to be sold out too quickly to sign up for a 5K.
They are. You have to really know that you're going to want to go down. Like, that's what I'm signed up for the Princess, the Glass Slipper Challenge next year. And I just sort of told Kyle, like, yesterday, I said, oh, by the way, I forgot I did this, because you have to, it's almost like an impulse buy. You have to, like, sign up for these major races almost on a whim, because you have like 30 minutes to sign up before they sell out.
You know what? I've never experienced any of the races, but I would love to go watch one.
And that's fun, too. They have, like, cheering sections. And the whole weekend, there's just so much camaraderie between everybody that's down there, whether they're spectators, family members, runners, walkers. They have these fun family kids races. And it's such a big ordeal, but it's so inviting to everybody that I think it's really unique. And I just think it's super cool.
If I happen to be down there while you're running the Princess Marathon, I will cheer you on. I will not run next to you, but I will cheer you on.
Fair enough. Meet me at the
Jimmy,
end of
let's
the
do the Everest Challenge. Let's right. do the obstacle course in the Everest Challenge.
That one sounds fun.
I think we could do that. That one no, we could do.
You know what the Everest Challenge is to me? Ride Expedition Everest, drink beer. Ride
I'm
Expedition
thinking
Everest,
that's something
drink a beer. And we keep going.
Safari log.
That would be like the Everest.
Well, it could end up in the same result for me either way.
That Everest challenge might not be bad thing to try, considering the Akin Yeti isn't that far.
Right.
I think the Everest challenge is a team event, guys.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying, Jimmy, we need to do it.
So that means we'll have to get multiple teams there, is what you're saying.
Oh, boy. Maybe I'm not so thankful for this now.
Okay, well, you know what, Jen? That's a really good one. I have a lot of friends that run, and I've only heard the best things about the Disney races, and you do meet a lot of people. There's a whole Disney runners group on Facebook, and a lot of information goes past there.
Lou Mangiello, the WDW radio, they have a Brett Baudouin, who's one of our original listeners, who's a really good guy. He's part of Lou's running team, and and so is Bea. Bea, we met down in for our meet. She's on Lou's running team too. So they're serious. They don't play games.
Well, and they raise a ton of money for Make-A-Wish, and other teams raise money for other charities. So I mean, there's just so many good things between like personal achievements that people don't think they can accomplish, and raising money for charities, including like Give Kids the World and things that are specific to Walt Disney World. I don't know. I think it's such a cool thing to get involved in, even if, like myself, you are absolutely not a runner. Like, I will say that to the day I die. I'm not a runner. So, but it's just fun. It's something that I think everyone should experience on some level. Maybe not a full marathon or half marathon, but just the environment and maybe a smaller race down there just to see what it's all about.
No, I think it's cool. I'm not a runner. I don't plan on being a runner, but I think the idea is cool, and I understand why people get involved, and I would definitely support anyone who wanted to get into that. I know Farrah, who used to be on the show with us, she's a big runner. Like, that's one of her big goals, is to go to one of the Disney races. So I think she's maybe planning on doing, I think she was talking about doing one of them this year, in 2015. So,
oh yeah, we'll have to get her back on and talk about it.
Hey, Farrah, yeah, we're looking for someone to lead the Disney Nerds podcast running team.
That's right, it's not gonna be me.
Come on, you gotta be part of it. You're a runner,
I'll be part of it,
not you, Jennifer.
Yeah. All right, I'm out. I'll be at the bar.
You're gonna run to the beer stand and grab us a beer.
Okay, so let's move on. Jimmy, what were you thankful for this year?
So I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to has nothing to do with the parks. It has to do with movies. I am thankful for Disney announcing the lineup of Marvel movies that are coming out, and they've announced movies all the way through 2019.
Oh, wow.
That's sweet.
I will run through them quickly. I'm not going to talk about – there's Marvel movies that – Fox does, such as the X-Men and Wolverine and stuff like that, and there's some that Sony does, like Spider-Man, so I won't talk about those. I'm going to talk about just the ones that Marvel Studios produces. So, starting in 2015, we have Avengers Age of Ultron. After that will be 2000... I know, it's the trailer is incredible.
Yes,
after that, in 2015, we have Ant-Man. 2016, we'll have Captain America, Civil War, Doctor Strange. 2017, we'll have a second Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor, Ragnarok, and Black Panther. 2018, we will have Avengers, Infinity War Part 1, Captain Marvel, The Inhumans. And then in 2019, we'll have Avengers, Infinity War Part 2.
So does that mean Iron Man's done and he's just going to hang out for the Avengers?
It looks that way. I don't see anything with Iron Man, just a straight Iron Man movie. So I'm
awesome.
Excited about that. I'm literally, when they made that announcement, which was about, I guess, a couple weeks, maybe a month ago, about all these movies coming up, I was like, oh my goodness, my nerd meter hit the peak.
Well, and I don't want to step on any toes. Ed, you can probably chime in on this one because I think you were talking about this earlier, but we can kind of go with a bunch of Bob Iger's, the acquisitions that have happened under Bob Iger. A lot of them this year, but in some in the past years. Ed, you were talking about your favorite.
Oh, sure. Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could definitely be thankful continuously for the Star Wars purchase because it was like it breathed new life in that whole franchise.
Yeah, so you have Avengers and Star Wars and now this Turner Classic Movies deal. And, I mean, what else has there been? There's been I feel like there's another big one that I'm missing, but maybe it was just the whole Lord of the Rings conversation we had, hoping that that one's
Oh, well, sure, Avatar. The Avatar.
Yeah, an Avatar, franchise. Yeah, yeah.
Sure. You realize that that's not, I didn't realize this, but we were talking about the other day, so I looked it up. The second Avatar is not coming out till December of 2016.
Oh, I thought it was right. 17, so that's at least a little
the
closer.
The third one will come out December of 2017. So you still have another 2 years before the second one comes out, which is ridiculously long time, considering the first one was a few years ago already.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, the Muppets. That was the other one I was thinking of.
Well, it's been a while, but sure.
Yeah.
That goes
yeah.
back.
But still well, under, yeah, more so. Definitely not this year, but still under the whole... like age of acquisitions.
Well, and you know what's interesting is, you know, talking about movies is that 2014 there were no Pixar movies.
Yeah.
Really?
Not a one. So
first
2015
year, right? The first year.
It's got to be the first year. So 2015 right at the beginning we'll get Finding Dory, which will be incredible as well.
Well, and in 2014 we saw Frozen continue to grow and grow. You're welcome, Ed. And now Big Hero 6, which I hope some of you saw while I was gone because I told you you needed to. Anybody?
I need to. I hadn't seen it.
It's so good.
I know.
We've seen it again and again. It's so good.
Well,
so.
Supposedly the big blockbuster film that was coming out with Matthew McConaughey and was Interstellar, and it came out and Big Hero 6 beat it.
Oh, Big Hero 6
is just incredible.
Unbelievable. Like, it has
by the way, it's another Marvel movie.
I know. There you go. So
it's based on a Marvel comic.
So, I mean, you have basically, since Frozen came out at the end of last year, 2014 saw Frozen all year long, not just in the parks, but, I mean, it's making a ton of money for the company. And then Big Hero 6 comes out, and Disney Animation just continues to hit home runs. So, I don't know. I think it's really exciting. I honestly wasn't even sure what to expect from Big Hero 6, as I might have mentioned before we left, but it was so good. They're really, really just knocking out these great movies back to back. Not just these two, but several of them back to back to back to back. And they're just really like knock on wood. They can't really make a bad movie right now.
I hate to toot my own horn, but I will.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Sam's working on a project right now, an undisclosed project, but he's going back and as part of it, he's going back and listening to all the episodes. And I was talking with him earlier today. And he goes, man, he goes, I was listening to some of these older episodes. And he says, you know, I got to one and you were on it. You know, I heard you saying that you had just saw Frozen and you said, man, this is going to be so big. And so
right after you commented about John Carter and how big that was going to be.
Right. Well,
knocked it down a little.
I didn't hear the announcement for part two of that.
First of all,
I'm kidding.
It was Sam who brought up the Great Movie Ride closing.
Okay.
Two weeks before Turner Classic Movies sponsored it.
Hey, a sponsor will save everything.
That's why they call them rumors.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's continue on being thankful. Sam, I think you're up next.
So it sort of segues right into what we were talking about, because I really look back at 2014 and go, I am thankful for the expanding role of Star Wars, what's happening with Star Wars weekends, the addition of the breakfast, the addition of the Symphony in the Stars, the addition of the VIP experiences. I really think there's some testing going on for some big, big things to come with Star Wars and the studios. And I'm thankful to see those steps and that evolution happening.
I completely agree.
I can't wait for Star Wars Weekend 2015.
I can't just wait to see. I almost want to fast forward a couple of years just to see what this is going to be, because we don't know, right? So we don't know exactly what we all have ideas, and you know, we did a show a couple of shows back on what we think may happen, what we'd like to see happen, but we really don't know. So I'm very interested to see what they're going to do. I know they're going to do something big. It's just what's it
we
gonna
know
be?
Something's happening, and I when we say what we're thankful for, the steps that we've made, and the fact that we know something's coming. We don't know what, but it's coming, and I can't wait to see it.
We'll probably find out next year, well, you know, from D23, I'd imagine.
Maybe.
That's what I was going to say. Interesting, the timing. You mentioned Star Wars Weekends. We've been saying all along that we predict announcements to come at D23 in August of next year. I wonder if there won't be anything, sort of a teaser, to get kind of, not that Star Wars Weekends needs hype to help build it, because it's already a huge event, but I wonder if being so close to the formal announcement that we're expecting or hope for, if there's going to be anything that comes out sooner about anything Star Wars.
When does the new movie get released?
17, if I remember.
I was about to
right.
say, not till 17.
Really? That long? Well, yeah, because I was thinking if it was any time sooner, that would be something to play on this year. So, no, maybe, Jen. That sounds like it's plausible.
And there has been reports of Iger saying that the next expo will be very, very, very Star Wars driven.
Right.
Nice.
And last expo, they had a Imagineering exhibit, Orange Harvest, that had R2-D2 and just hints of
blueprints,
ideas that
which you couldn't see, right?
Exactly.
What's your, just kind of sideways, kind of off topic just a little bit, but what's you guys' opinion of Bob Iger?
I think he's great. I really do. I think he put Disney so far ahead, just not in the parks, but as a company itself, from Pixar to Star Wars to Marvel.
I agree. But, you know, I think that some of the knocks that he gets is that he's focused a lot on the film, and then we hadn't seen a lot of attention paid to the parks until just very recently.
Well, the last 6 years.
So let me ask this. Do you think his legacy will be better than Michael Eisner?
By far.
Yeah,
I think
really? By
in
far?
The very, I think in the very long run, they're both going to be similarly great. I think that while everyone in a position such as Bob Iger currently or Michael Eisner then is on such a platform that they're going to have critics, I think obviously Michael Eisner had some more steps that got more criticism. And
Now I'm talking about when he was in his prime, though. Not,
sure,
I mean,
but I think that's what I think.
Toward the end, it got a little funny, but...
Right, but I think long-term, like, I mean, if you could go 50 years in the future, 100 years in the future, I think they're both going to be just... masterfully important. Yeah, just hugely important to the company for two very, very different reasons.
Right. Well, I mean, to the Disney traditionalist, I understand Bob Iger has made a lot of great business decisions by acquiring Marvel and Lucasfilms, but to somebody who is just a true fan of just, let's just say Disney, I mean, Michael Eisner, led the Disney revolution. I mean, he
right.
put together... Little Mermaid, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast. I mean, all
Hollywood
those films.
Hollywood Studios that... doesn't exist without Eisner.
He even had the throwback to the Wonderful World of Color. I mean, it was definitely rooted
Fantasia
in tradition.
2000.
Rooted in tradition and Disney history for
sure.
Sure.
And don't get me wrong, he had Roy Disney, the younger Roy Disney, kind of, I mean, he was still a big part of the company. And
sure.
He battled with Eisner a lot, I think, but... You still had him as a creative force kind of moving the company in a certain direction and kind of sticking to those roots.
Yeah, I just think they're both vitally important. I mean, I think that's what we're going to find in the long run, that they are very, very different. But, I mean...
I guess that was my point.
My point was that
people think that Iger is great if you're a Disney stockholder.
Sure.
Like, he's done great things for the company, but maybe not great things... For the traditional Disney fan.
If I can throw one more thing in there. Due to the parks, Iger redid California Adventure,
right.
which is one of my favorite parks. I mean, he totally switched that to one of the best parks Disney has.
Okay.
And I think his term's ending June 2018, if I'm correct in that. And he'll have Avatar Land. As well as Star Wars Land or whatever they're doing at studios as well. So I know a lot of people are bashing him that he doesn't get a lot of stuff on the East Coast, but I think he's been working on the Avatar and the...
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's changed over the past, the past year. It's probably... A lot of people's opinions have probably changed. I was just curious.
Yeah, I think they're both crucial to the... history, obviously, because they're both a big part of it, but I just think there's so many great things that both have done. I mean, you look at the 90s animation renaissance, and that was all under Michael Eisner. I'm not saying he had, you know, the hand in it that changed everything, but certainly.
No, but he led it. I mean, he led the company in that direction. I mean, it wouldn't have happened without him saying, do it.
Sure. So I think they're both, their legacies are both going to be excellent.
Sure. And was it Michael Eisner Pixar?
I thought so.
Like, that was right probably. At the end?
Probably.
Or he had,
I don't know.
No,
he was working.
I think that they were working together. That. Yeah, they were working
together.
They were
working together and it never worked. Remember, the story is that Iger visited, I'm not sure if it was Disneyland or Walt Disney World, but he was on Main Street watching the 3 o'clock parade when he realized that all of the Disney characters. Yeah, what time? Well, it depends where you're standing. Yeah, right. When he realized that all of the Disney characters in the parade were the classic characters. There were no current ones. And the only current characters were Toy Story and Pixar characters. And that sent him basically thinking, I need to get back to the negotiation board. And he made it happen. So Iger definitely gets credit for Pixar.
But yeah, so yeah. I mean, I think you have to look at the partnering with Pixar to begin with and the acquisition of Pixar, or the combination, I should say. But, I mean, that's two separate events, but obviously both part of the merger.
So would you like to see Disney produced another hand-drawn animated movie, like Princess and the Frog was the last one they did?
I don't know. My gut reaction is yes, 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 because I like the nostalgia.
I do,
but
too.
Man,
yeah, I'd like to see them do it.
But the animation is so outstanding now. Like, all the new movies that come out are so phenomenal.
Oh, it's
not that
ridiculous.
Yeah. Not that the hand-drawn isn't, and I'm sure that there's, you know, just... It's obviously a different skill set, and it's remarkable that it can be done in both ways, but it's just so immersive, and I don't feel like I miss it, but I do like the nostalgia. So my gut reaction was yes, but I don't know that I would be sad if it didn't happen soon.
And I guess my point is, I don't know that, you know, I'm not saying they should go back and make every movie hand-drawn, but I think from time to time, a classic tale doing hand-drawn animation.
I like that, yeah.
I kind of like it. It's and, you know, I was watching a documentary, and they said it actually takes more man-hours to do the computer-generated movies than it does the hand-drawn. Which you think, you would think, though, you know, them hand-drawing and inking and doing all those cells and things is a laborious process, but they said the computer-generated it takes even longer. It's more man hours.
The during the credits, the amount of animators for the computer animated movies, it's
ridiculous.
It's huge. I mean, there's like hundreds and hundreds of names, if not more.
But can they have more people working simultaneously to get movies out faster? To where your man hours are more, but your production time is down.
That's probably true, because until I draw it on a cell, you can't ink the cell. So it's almost more like a production line.
Sure. I agree with you, though. You take a classic fairy tale and hand draw it, and you take your original stories and make them all CGI. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
If you go all the way back to Walt in the old, Sunday night hour-long program, when he pulls the book off of the shelf and he talks about the story and being immersed in the story and telling a story that tugs at you, that pulls you in, that sucks you in. I don't care what the animation mechanism is. It's the story that matters.
Well, I disagree. How about that? There's a difference to me, you know, and you're starting to see a renaissance of this, kind of a people doing this. There's a difference between, you can take two albums, you can listen to one on CD, and you can listen to one on vinyl. And the CD is going to be more accurate and technically accurate, but it doesn't have the same warm feel as that listen to that same album on vinyl. And that's what the hand-drawn animation does to me.
But if
it has more of
the music isn't good, it doesn't matter how you deliver it.
Well, but I'm talking about the same music.
No, I understand.
So it's on par. So my thing is that the hand-drawn animation, is that a dying art? Do you want to see it go by the wayside?
No.
I would bet you that you will see within the Disney company, I would bet right now that you will see a resurgence going back to hand-drawn animation. I'm not saying completely. I'm just saying that you will start to see some of those movies.
Right. The only thing I have is an issue with that, and not even an issue, but you could take computer animated animation and make it look as if it was drawn. So I don't see the difference at this point.
But if the story's, if and Disney I agree decides,
Sam's saying the story is the most important thing. You can have stick figures with a great story; it's going to come across great.
No, I agree. I agree.
They can say we're going to do this great epic story. We're going back to hand drawn animation, and if the story's not good, nobody's going to like it, and they'll blame hand drawn for it when it's got nothing to do with it. It's the story.
You could be right.
Frozen would be good either way, in my opinion. Now, it could be wrong. You know, you go and look at it in hand-drawn versus the way that it was completed, but who knows? Anyway, look at it.
Home on the Range is probably exactly as good as it is, whether it's CGI or hand-drawn.
Well, a bad story is a bad story. I agree with that. Yes. But I just like to see the throwback. And I'm not saying that I think they should do every movie hand-drawn. No, but every now and then they should do a hand. They should go back to the roots and do a hand-drawn animated movie, because they do have a different feel. They have a different look and a different feel, and I don't know that you can duplicate the hand-drawn cells. And I guess you could do it digitally, but I don't know. So it's not quite the same.
I could even see hand-drawn shorts, because Feast, which is the one before Big Hero 6, is not hand-drawn, but it's a very, very different style, especially in contrast to Big Hero 6. They're very, very different from an animation standpoint. But you could do, a hand-drawn short, which would be kind of a taste of that hand-drawn. You could get a great story. Some of these shorts that are coming out, Paper Man and Feast, and some of the other ones that are new, are so, so good. The stories are amazing in, 3 to 5 minutes, 10 minutes max. And they're excellent. And you could kind of get a taste of the hand-drawn there. I don't know.
I agree. That wouldn't be a bad idea. I tell you what, I can't stand the CGI Mickey Mouse, the new one that they show.
The new cartoons?
That looks like it's very hand-drawn, which is so funny you're saying that.
No, it doesn't.
It's mostly that he's kind of a jerk in it. It's not Mickey Mouse. Like, everyone is the wrong, like, nobody behaves the way they're supposed to. It's very strange. My kids watch it, and their personalities have all changed, and it's very weird. I watched on my recent trip, I watched this clip in an animation class with Walt, and it was like kind of this idea of how Mickey became, you know, a hero, and so he had to behave a certain way all the time. He had to be positive. He had to be kind of a role model. And then Mickey and these
he wasn't.
No. But he always came out and
he
did the right thing eventually.
And kind of, yeah, I don't think he was bad.
Especially when like Minnie Mouse would sweep Figaro out the front porch with her broom and beat him. Like that was a little different than the Minnie Mouse we know today. But yeah, I know that happened, but
oh my god, could you imagine what happened today? there would be protesters outside the movie theater. It would be ridiculous.
Boycott Disney. No, but the new shorts are like, I don't know. The characters are just not themselves. I don't like them at all.
Really?
I'm with you.
I don't know. Maybe that's
they're weird. They're weird. Anyway, sorry, Ed.
Why?
Because we're tangential.
That was a long rant.
I was gonna challenge you guys to tell me who had the thankful thought that brought us to here.
It was mine, and Sam. Jimmy interrupted the whole thing. Jimmy just, man.
You know what?
Talk about any squirrel.
I'm thankful. I am thankful. Sam is here to interrupt.
Well, we kind of went full circle around there as far as Sam's Star Wars idea went, being thankful for that. But you know, there's a lot of things that were connected to that one.
There were. Ed, what are you thankful for?
Well, you know what? I'm going to be thankful for something that's a little bit controversial.
Uh-oh.
I am definitely thankful for FastPass Plus.
I agree.
Ooh, wow.
We
went down very controversial
in October. And the main reason is I don't have to go to Rope Drop to get on the good rides I want to get on to. That's my main reason right there. I'm not going to go into anything about restaurants and fast passes there or parade watching locations. No. The thing about going to Walt Disney World is I always want to get on that main ride of the park, and I'm always going to Rope Drop. I'm getting up early anyway, so it's not a big thing. However, it does put a little bit of a we got to get there type of tinge to the morning. So with FastPass Plus, I know I'm going to get on Toy Story Mania. I know I'm going to get on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and I don't have to be there at the crack of dawn.
Now, wow, when we talked about whether we were going to do the anti-Thanksgiving, that was at the top of my list. Wow, that is like, we have opposite opinions on that one.
Okay.
I'm completely with Ed on this one. you know, I see posts in the group like, oh my God, with this new FastPass Plus system, you can't be spontaneous. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, it makes you so much more spontaneous. I see it completely the opposite direction, because I can be spontaneous as I want to and still know that I'm going to get to go ride Toy Story Mania.
That's valid. You know what I'm saying? My bigger
complaint. Before, you couldn't be spontaneous because you had to be there at rope drop to make it to run the Toy Story Mania so you could get a fast pass. Because if you got there after 10, they were gone.
That's very valid. My only complaints, and they don't have to be long because we don't want this to be anti, standby lines are atrocious now because of it. And I used to be able to do 8 to 10 rides a day on fast pass. Now I can do 2 to 4, even though you're allowed getting 3 and you're allowed getting more. It just doesn't work out. So it is really bad. It's not in a test anymore. Hush.
There's no test. Well,
it is still a test.
And I think
it is
still a test. And the problem they're going to have now is that the return lines for the FastPass are huge, and they're going to have to work their way to get through those. Charlotte was down there and showed us a picture the other day of Toy Story Mania. The FastPass line was out past the Pixar sign. So,
I tended to wait on our last trip. I waited 30 minutes or so on a couple of fast pass lines and 25 to 30 minutes on things like Small World, and Journey to Imagination was 20 minutes, and it was not that crowded. So it's there's some things that they definitely need to work on. And if you say it's still in a test, I will take your word for it. I heard that it's official now, but I would love to see some changes.
Well, I don't think it's going anywhere, but I think they'll constantly adjust
amount
of fast passes that they allow for a certain period of time, and trying to do that balancing act on how many do you give out, how many people do you have come between this time. But and you know what I mean, things like that happen, and if there was a breakdown or something, you know, I immediately saw Sam post in Charlotte's thing, it must have went down, and now that
because that happened to me, that exact thing happened to me, and it was because it had gone down earlier than the day, and they rescheduled
everyone's fast passes.
And that
attraction goes down pretty. Toy Story goes down pretty regularly, I think.
Right now, just to kind of add another like kind of favorite part is, when was the last time you can go to Hollywood Studios 6 in the afternoon and go on Toy Story Mania?
Yep.
Again, that's another part of what the cool things about the FastPass Plus, in that you can really kind of set that stuff up ahead of time.
Well, we talked about it in the previous show that when I was there and for Easter, and me and Sam met up that the last day I was there, you know, he flew in, Sam, you landed about 1 o'clock.
We flew in, landed about 1, 2 in the afternoon.
Had a 3 o'clock FastPass for Soarin', walked in the back gate of Epcot and went and rode Soarin', walked right on.
No, that's great. There are definitely some benefits. And the thing I will say, we were down there 2 times before they implemented the extra fast pass, which allowed for some park hopping. And that is a huge, huge change that made it tolerable for our family. I will say that. So they are listening, I think, but it's still and people say, oh, you'll get used to it. I think we've gone like 6 or 7 times with FastPass Plus. We know how to work it. It is
not used to it yet.
It is not for our family. That's for
well,
sure.
Well,
but we're rope drop people, and we don't go to the park. I mean, So it's, and we also we don't wait in lines. John and I talked about this last week. Like 10 minutes, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not waiting more than 10 minutes on anything. So when standby lines are 20 or 25 minutes, I know it's like totally whatever. That's me being a wimp about lines. But with the old FastPass system, I never waited more than 10 or 15 minutes for anything.
I'll say this much. I'm not a fan of it, but it makes sense for Walt Disney World, because we say it time and time again on the show. This is for people that come once or 2 times a year. So you can book fast passes up to 30 days. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
60 if you're a resort.
Longer, yeah.
So you have the kids, you have the family all excited for counting down the days, knowing what you're going to do. But on the other hand, as a local, it's not.
It's a little tougher.
Yeah.
But we're not who they're catering to.
Oh, exactly.
Because the majority of the guests at Walt Disney World are not, we're not them. The majority of the guests go down once every 2 or 3 years. I don't know. I still like it because 60 days beforehand, I can set my fast passes. And I know that if I want to ride Toy Story Mania every day for a week, if I can get those fast passes set up, it's done. I don't have to worry about it.
I do have to say, also, we were behind this couple we were in line for Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, so it was unrelated to Fast Passes, but you use your magic band to sign in for that quest. And the person in front of us was talking about Fast Passes, and the cast member was asking about their Fast Passes, and they had like colored Mickey bands, so they had gotten their package sent to them ahead of time, and they had absolutely no idea that you could make Fast Pass reservations, which is not Disney's fault, because you guys know, if you've done it at all, you get like 30 mailings before you travel.
I was about to say,
emails and boxes and booklets. You used to get like a flash drive that showed you a video on how to do it. And
I never got one of those. I wish I did.
Oh, it's Mickey cool. shaped. I have an extra.
And it lights up. Oh,
yeah.
All right, I want it. Nice. I call but dibs.
Certainly.
Send me a case of Purple Haze. I'll send it to you.
There you go.
All right.
Certainly that was this guest's oversight or lack of technological ability, but...
No, just lack of planning. I mean, I just booked our trip for February, and I booked the hotel the other day, and yesterday I got the little Incredibles book in the mail and said, right. Here's your vacation.
So this couple had no idea that they could make Fast Passes, and so therefore, this was the second when we came back from our cruise and it was busier, they could get nothing. I mean, they really couldn't get any of the big rides. But certainly, like I said, that was their fault, but it does add...
Let me say something real quick.
Yeah.
They should have booked their trip with a travel agent.
That's right.
Like myself, and they would have known exactly what
Once
they
upon
should...
a time travel.
That's right. They would have known exactly what they should have done and when they should have done it.
That's very true. That's a very good point. But they were at a loss. Or, like John mentioned, locals, if you're not staying on property, maybe you have an annual pass, you have 30 days, but if you decide you just want to hop into the park... And again, it's not, you know, we talked about Disneyland being more for locals and Walt Disney World for visitors, but I'm sure it was a bonus to be able to hop into the park and maybe ride something, but it is what it is. And we enjoy going and not riding rides and just playing Sorcerer of the Magic Kingdom all day or looking at the windows on Main Street. We ride virtually nothing anymore because, you know, you get your 3 Fast Passes and hope to get on them, and that might be it.
Something else that we noticed on the last trip we were down was that there's a lot of cast members running around with iPads. Yes. And almost every time we talk to the cast member looking for Fast Passes, granted, it couldn't be for Toy Story Mania or it couldn't be for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but usually any other ride we were looking for, we were able to get Fast Passes later on in the day.
Like pretty quick.
Right. So I think it's a matter of planning. My other thought was how I was talking earlier how I don't have to go to Rope Drop now with Fast Pass Plus. Well, here's the thing. I don't have to, but I still did. And by doing that, take Magic Kingdom for example. I had 7 Dwarfs Fast Pass. I had, say, maybe Haunted Mansion and Pirates. Well, that meant Rope Drop, I went to Space Mountain and rode it twice. Because
right.
I knew that the rest of my day was taken care of for those major rides.
Absolutely.
Now, when you do your planning, you realize that some of the rides get crowded right away in the morning. Others kind of fill up as the day goes on. Well, you just have to kind of tailor your plan a little bit around that. And I don't think there's any reason why you couldn't get on the majority of the rides. You just got to work the system. It does
well,
work.
And the paper Fast Passes would run out too, but this might be something like Jimmy was saying, they'll tweak the number they give out or something. What we were finding when we came back from our cruise and missed Rope Drop, it was like 11 or 12 in that, like noon on a Saturday. And yes, it was pretty busy, but it was only noon. And if we wanted to get a Soarin' Fast Pass, it wasn't Soarin' because we were at the Magic Kingdom. Something, obviously Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, those things were gone. But there were some that were available, Space Mountain, for example. Like, it was an extra Magic Hours night, and they were 11 o'clock at night. Well, I have, you know, a 2-year-old and 6-year-olds. So if for a Fast Pass 12 hours later, it's not really, I mean, that's not later in the day. That's the middle of the night. So it wasn't really... There were a lot of those situations where it was so much later that it was just unusable. And obviously, like Soarin' used to run out of Fast Passes at like 30 minutes after Rope Drop. So paper Fast Passes didn't guarantee you that you got on the ride. But at least for the kind of the middle of the popularity rides, those tended to keep Fast Passes. And you knew that you were going to come back like an hour or two later.
Well, another thing was that, you know, you're rushing to go get a Fast Pass. You get there, and then the time available is, you know what? Oh, I got a dinner reservation.
Right, yeah.
Well, can't use that Fast Pass. So then what do? Sit there and wait for the Fast Pass time to advance where it's feasible, you know? then you're just wasting time. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Running around the park trying to grab Fast Passes to me, It's, I don't know. I think it's so much better the way it is.
Well, that was the other difference between that and the paper, is you had your, a lot of us got our fast passes for rides days ahead of time, weeks ahead of time. Once we got to that day, we were still able to change them pretty much to whatever we wanted to change them to. Again, that'll depend on the time of the year, of course, but.
We were there at a slower time of the year. I don't know how that would work during the summer, but I agree. How much time before how much time before did Quinn spend running around the park grabbing fast passes for everybody?
Not a lot.
Right.
That was just part for the course. That was, again, part of the whole
scheme. Well, that's part of working the system, sure.
Right, because we're walking toward Toy Story Mania while he's going for fast passes there, or we're walking toward, you know, whatever it was usually. So, you know, we meet him halfway there. It wasn't that big a deal.
I will say, though, that as much as I dislike FastPass Plus, and I mean, I could go all on and on about more things, but I am absolutely a hater. We're going to keep going down to Disney World,
You're a FastPass Plus snob.
I am. That's exactly FastPass snob. And you guys love it. Like, there's, you know, people on both sides, but I will say it's free, and like no other amusement park is it free to everybody. So that's a huge deal.
Very valid point.
Right. Very good thing to be thankful for. I totally agree. Yeah. So guys, we're done for today, and we had plenty of things to be thankful for, but we want to hear what you have to say. What are you thankful for this year at Walt Disney World or any part of the Disney company? Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and let us know what you think. You can start
typing my email right now. Big buses. That's what I'm thankful for. Big buses. Thank you.
I'm also a bus hater. I'll let you know.
Oh my God. You know, when we started this show, I didn't think it was Jennifer that was going to go negative. I would have said, you know what? Sam's probably going to go negative. It won't be Jennifer.
I just said Jimmy.
This is thankful.
Hey, I brought us back around. It's all free, right, and I'm thankful.
All right.
Right.
All right. We forgive you.
Well, that's it for show number 60. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.
Gobble, gobble. Gungaloosh.
See ya.
You gobble, gobble. That's so funny.